Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Reggie and Vincent Calloway on the line. These are some major hit makers. They're celebrating 35 years with one of their singles, I Wanna Be Rich. Oh, so listen, Reggie, Vincent, let's go. Tell me how you came up with this song.
This idea came up many, many years ago, approximately in 1982, when we were working on the No Parking on the Dance Floor album with Midnight Star, our former group. And, we were building our repertoire. I had just already spoken with Quincy Jones for about 30 minutes to get the lay of the land and what it was going to take to put together one of the greatest albums of all time. Mm-hmm. But there was this one song that Melvin Gentry, vocalist and guitar player, drummer, was standing in the mirror getting ready as we were preparing for rehearsal for that day, and he was very jokingly singing the chorus, I Want to Be Rich, just those words. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, man, that resonates to not just us. we were going into our fourth album, and it was Do or Die, so we did not want to be poor forever.
Right.
So I said, let's work on that for a minute. So Melvin and Belinda and Vincent, we went down to our basement writing room and started constructing a part of the song. But we didn't finish it at that time because we more or less realized that the direction we were going with songs like Freakazoid, Electricity, No Parking on the Dance Floor, and we were going for a funk, hardcore, techno-based feel. And I Wanna Be Rich was very, very happy and cheerful and popish, as they may say. Mm-hmm. So we put it on the back burner. And maybe we'll get back to it one day. Well, after Vincent and I left Midnight Star and began to produce for other people and, four number one records on the roll, and Nick Griffey says, how would you guys like to make a Calloway album? And we jumped for joy. We said, what took you so long? and we began to pull together the songs for Calloway. We'd go through, all of our song ideas, and that one just resurfaced. And so Vincent and I decided to finish it, polish it off, and, bring in some of the greatest musicians in the world today and go for making this song, a big classic. And we're just blessed 35 years later that certainly has lived up to the test.
Now, Reggie, do you both write and sing, produce? Give me your credits real quick.
Okay. We both started out as horn players. Well, I started out as a singer in elementary school, but I quickly stopped singing when I didn't make the All City Boys Choir. So I was so hurt. I play trumpet. I always messed around on the piano and taught myself to play the flute in the early part of that career. And then singing came back during the Midnight Star days, as well as it got really serious when Calloway, because in Midnight Star we had three great singers with Melvin, Bull, and Belinda. So once we broke away and started doing our own thing, then that became the passion that was born many years ago, resurfaced. And then, in songwriting and producing, we do all of that.
All right. Vincent, jump on in here.
Yeah, well, I started off actually playing piano. My mom's younger brother, Stanley Gilchrist, gave me my first piano lesson. He played piano and organ and sang and everything. But it wasn't until later that Reggie brought home a trumpet from school and taught me how to buzz the mouthpiece. And I kind of got hooked on the trumpet. And he kept saying, man, you should play saxophone so we can get in the band. But, of course, years later, when he formed Midnight Star at Kentucky State University, he gave me a call one summer and asked, would I come down and meet them in Kentucky to work on a demo to try to get a record deal. So I went down and, packed up everything I owned that I needed. Packed up my trumpet and horn stand and clothes or whatever. And so I wound up buying a trombone because, Reggie was playing trumpet, and then Bill Simmons played saxophone, so we needed, kind of fill out the horn section. So I bought a trombone from one of the band members' friends for, I think, about $25. And
wow.
Taught myself how to play the slide trombone.
Nice.
And, of course, they put me in the band, but, I played saxophones and messed around on the flute a little bit. Pretty much, anything I get my hands on. I've been growing up in a 7-10 group, you always have to, play multiple instruments, kind of a utility person.
Right. So how did you teach yourself?
He left my vocoder. I don't even say it. the vocoder, of course, is one of the key things that success of Freakazoid, opening up. So that's been like one of my key voices, which became, a third or fourth voice for Midnight Star, mm-hmm. as well as what we use, as Calloway.
Right. But how did you train yourself how to play?
Just
by ear, just listening?
By ear, by ear. Well, with the trombone, trumpet is like they call a B-flat instrument, and trombone is a concert C instrument, like the piano.
Right.
But I actually transposed the trombone into like a B-flat instrument, so I was able to, you know, read trumpet music. Of course, I had, you know, problems reading bass clef music, but just playing around and, you know, learning songs and just being under pressure to, make it happen.
Yeah, that pressure, that, what they say, pressure buzz pipes, so you had to hurry up and blow, right?
Oh, man.
Once you learn one instrument, then you can try to find relationships to the other instruments, then it's a matter of finding what those 12 notes are, and then, of course, making a sound, that's one of the first things, different, you know, the saxophone has a reed, trumpet has a mouthpiece, so making those different distinctions, and, you know, a trumpet has three vowels that can play 100 notes, where the saxophone, you know, how many notes on the saxophone? How many keys should I play? Notes are endless, but the keys that you press down, so that's why I went from trumpet to flute, because I didn't want to put another mouthpiece or reed against my lips, because the trumpet, you know, your lips are very sensitive, but yet, whatever you love, I mean, right now we're playing guitar, we're playing cello, we just keep on.
Wow. Yeah. That's good stuff. So how did you guys connect with Darius Phoenix Barnes?
Yeah, Darius, life is so funny when you think of it in terms of how things occur. But he was a great guy who just passed away, one of the first black executives at ASCAP Music, which collects royalties for performances. And his name is James Leach. He just passed away.
Mm.
And we were at his memorial services. Was a definite legend in our music industry. But James introduced me to Darius. As Darius, you know, we began to work together on helping to build his company. And but on the music side, his father is one of the architects of Michael Jackson. He's a very legendary keyboard player that actually wrote a lot of the songs for Michael Jackson's albums. So that lineage. And then his mother is a great singer in her own right. Go a step further, his grandmother, I met his grandmother. His grandmother happened to be our mother's next-door neighbor.
Wow.
So that was crazy. So, and then, you know, I stayed close with Darius as he was growing and building. You know, Darius has worked with, you know, incredible hip-hop artists, songwriter, publisher, building his business. So he was a natural to say that, you know, how do we bring in some youth years to take this 35-year-old song and make it something that even the kids today can relate to. So Darius was just an obvious great choice. He wanted to get involved, so let's run with it.
Right.
And we did the vocals were from a new version that we did actually in 2011 that we, owned and controlled. So when it was time to do this remix, we were able to, this new version, to make it happen and then pull it all together. It took a while, but it was a lot less effort. It was just effortlessly. But it still takes the time to get it all done and finished. And we're happy we made the year. We almost missed the year.
Wow.
we really made it big time. And in time for a New Year, so people can have their New Year's resolutions set to what they want to achieve in their love, peace, and happiness, and in their financial wealth. We're just excited to be a part of bringing such a song back to life.
Right. Man, so I want to be rich is still a mantra today. However, from the time you created the song to today, what do you feel has changed?
You want to go first, Spencer?
You can go first.
Well, you know, one of the obvious things that's changed is, you know, we have a lot more black billionaires. There's an infection of wealth that is out there that, you know, that we all should have. It shouldn't be just limited to one sector of people or one background, or the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Right.
You know, those things have to be wiped. And what we're doing, we're changing minds.
Right.
You know, the mindset of, you used to say money's the root of all evil. Now money is a pathway to getting things done, to bringing people's lives to another level, of feeding the hungry, of exploring, you know, new places that we can go and live if the earth should ever meet some type of demise, you know. So, you know, changing people's minds to say, I can do it.
Yes.
I don't have to have a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, I can actually do my work, my craft, and then there is a system. And if there's not a system, then let's help create it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I like that. Now, Spiral Galaxy Entertainment label is your label?
Yes, that's our label. Okay. We're really excited about it. We're using a lot of our songs to bring it to the forefront. And then we'll start, like we brought in Darius Phonics, you know, we'll be bringing other young artists to record a lot of the material, as well as signing in young artists and creating new sounds, writing off the sounds that are already there. So it's just a great vehicle for us to be able to help other people and guide them through the process.
Yes,
as well as, you know, it's also ownership of, like, you know, like owning real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, you have something that you actually pass on and that you can, you know, negotiate with, bargain with,
right,
and create new intellectual properties that somebody else may not create. You know, we can see a vision where they may not see the vision.
That's right.
Or see the necessity.
That's right. And today is why I wanted to talk to you guys. Some of these classic R&B songs are so classic that they just last forever. If you're in a club, the bar, or just hanging out, or your own personal playlist, one of your songs are on there. And when you hear it, everybody's going, you know, get their little bop on, their little snapping the fingers, and, you know, get it going.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what hurts me, what used to hurt me all the time, is I would be like, where are the people who wrote all those great songs? So that's why I'm saying today I'm super excited to be talking to you guys, because I'm like, y'all gotta come back. We need more good songs, y'all. That's not over. Come on, make some more music. And I love what you said, bring in the new audience, but also let them know the root, the foundation, because at the end of the day, the basics never change. What say
right.
You guys?
Go ahead, man.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, us as Callaway, you know, brothers, personally, you know, we have a lot of really killer songs. And to get opportunities to go back and even just doing different versions of it.
That's right.
Or bringing in other artists. I mean, you know, groups have been doing that, you know, for years.
Right.
You know, sometimes you may have somebody to sample your music and, you know, you're forced to say, well, man, do I allow this to go through, you know, where it may not be up to the standard, you know? And I think that's a big part of it, too, you know. We talk about, you know, certain type of content and language that goes with it. But at the same time, you know, if you got some really good, you know, quality stuff, you're going to get, you know, even more mileage out of it.
That's right.
So,
I mean, to be honest.
But not just.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, All right. So I was going to say, to be honest, songs you may have wrote like 20 years ago, you can put it out right now and it'll be a hit, and everything is just about timing. So I'm so excited for Spiral Galaxy Entertainment Label, because you guys are about to do that. And I can say that honestly, you're all about to do that.
I said, you're very inspiring. You don't even know what you're listening to. Some of those songs in our archives that we're about to bring back out. I mean, we have demos with some great R&B artists that have never been heard that will be turned into, you know, fresh songs.
Yes.
And just having that ability to do that. Because you were saying you don't hear a lot about the songwriters and the people, because not so long ago, you didn't have the vehicles. But now with the internet, it can take your life into your own hands. You have to redefine it.
Right.
You know, you can't say, well, I'm going to sell a billion records. You know, that's not the thing. If you can get a billion streams, and then you're doing something.
Right.
But it can be done from a small set and grow it to bigger. But the biggest thing is that music, that art, becomes a part of the world, which is what I hear you saying. You know, we always try to put a positive song along with our party songs.
Yes.
So a lot of those positive messages, we need to take those and compile them into one album. And these are all the uplifting songs that we try to make people take a look at, so they could do more with their own lives. You know, we wrote a song called "Love Is Alive" by Midnight Star. You know, we got songs about what went on in Houston with the floods,
right?
And the politics, the power of the vote that we see so drastically and prevalently. We don't have to be worried about what's the next hit record. It's more like, what's the next message?
Come on, sir. Come on. That's it. That's it. And this is why I'm so excited, because that's what we were doing in the music. Music had the message. It was uplifting. It was encouraging. It was the revival, the true revival. And I love it. And if you guys don't really know Reggie and Vincent Calloway, let me drop some names. Now, they wrote the song Casanova for the late LeVert, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What memories do you do you have when you worked with him?
I have some too, but you can go first, Reggie, if you like.
Well, my first memory is when I got the phone call from Sylvia Room, Atlantic Records, and she said, I got these young kids that I need a hit record for. The album's finished, but we still need a hit record. And they're the sons of Eddie LaVert, two of them, and one's a cousin. And this Gerald LaVert sounds just like his dad, which mm-hmm. could be a problem, but we're going for it, So
right.
We had that back. And then, we sent in the demos to get approval. After meeting with the A&R team and getting that approval, that was awesome. We began to cut the tracks, the actual tracks. Gerald and Sean and Mark came to the studio in Cincinnati to cut the vocals. They lived in Cleveland. We lived in Cincinnati, so it was about a five-hour drive. It was the funniest thing to think about. They had actually drove there, no airplane, nothing like that. They drove to Cincinnati to record their vocals, and they were fired up when they got there. And to go so quickly, to record that song so quickly, they were effortless. They were a dream to work with.
Wow.
And they brought style difference. It was like, okay, let's go.
Right.
Yeah, the first time, he actually came to my place. We had a little demo set up, the studio set up just to, cut demos. And I guess we must have asked him to sing something. He probably sung something a cappella, and it was like sitting there listening to Eddie LaVert at the Cincinnati Jazz Festival.
Wow.
The voice was just amazing, just to hear, that raw sound. And, of course, the rest is history, with them.
Now, how did you come up with Casanova? Casanova, Al. Okay, go ahead.
And just a situation, I have to jump in 3 minutes because I have a call that,
okay.
But this can stay up in meeting. But Casanova, we're from Louisville, Kentucky and Cincinnati. And coming up, we would take that drive down that highway. I step out and drove a Greyhound bus, and we'd be on that bus, and that bus be humming, and we'd be going down the highway, and all you could get was country radio if you had your little transistor radio. So Casanova started out as a country concept. We lived on the tour bus, just playing with it. It was nothing serious. I never really finished it. I had the hook and knew it was strong, but then when they said they needed this music for LaVert, it required a reason to finish it, because I went through all my songs. It's same concepts,
Right.
So this poem told me I had this great song that was unfinished. She said, go to your list and see what you see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down the list, and it was like Casanova just kind of glowed off the paper. You see movies when that happens, but then it's Casanova. Now we got to turn it into an R&B song.
Right.
How did we do? And that came from the beat. I was riding down the highway in California and heard Club Nouveau's song, Lean On Me. I said, that's the frequency. That's the openness. That's the sound. Late one night, I dreamed of the beat and had my tape recorder by my bed. Because if I didn't have my tape recorder, I could have forgotten it. So
right.
I rolled over and said, got to do. That's it.
Yeah. I love it. And for other people, I'm just giving y'all some resumes. Highlights, Gladys Knight, Love Overboard, Al, okay. just come on, man. Let us know how that came into play.
We got the same call from another A&R person who says, we have this Last Night in the Pips album finished. We need a hit.
What do you got?
Because last time Vince and I were rolling, we were like just rolling them out. So they called us the hitmen. So they would, call us to try to get the hit. And, so thinking about Gladys, I think I read some articles about, problems that she might be having and dealing with it. She didn't take no mess kind of a person.
Right.
But yet, turmoil. So once I hit that concept of Love Overboard, then it was just a matter of telling that story. Oh, my God. And what a fun ride that was. And once again, the hook followed by the beat and then the lyrics of the story. One of the beautiful stories is that we sent them a demo with me humming the melody. No words, just humming.
Okay.
And so the A&R man said, let's do it. I said, man, but is Gladys going to like this? please have Gladys call me, because I just need the confidence to know that she likes it.
Right.
Confidence to finish it. Gladys called about 12 o'clock at night after one of her concerts. She said, hey, baby, it's me, Gladys. I said, do you like it, Gladys? She said, I like it. Let's go.
Okay.
And then it was set into motion. Vince and I jumped on an airplane and flew to Denver, Colorado.
Denver.
Mm-hmm. She had just gone off the stage after her concert with the Pips.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are ready to cut vocals. It's 12 o'clock at night again.
Wow.
And Gladys, I finished the first verse, but I haven't finished the second verse. I just need a few more minutes. And she said, take your time, baby.
Oh, man. I love hearing. I love hearing that. And I love hearing that artists are kind in collaborations. That's key, because you know how the internet can go.
So I'll let Vincent finish that story. I'm going to jump up.
You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, great.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you know, the cool thing about working with Gladys is, of course, she's been, you know, singing and performing, I think, since she was about 4 years old. So she's like a child prodigy. But, you know, like Reggie said, he hadn't even finished the second verse, you know, the lyrics. And then I guess once he finished it, she listened to it down once and she sung it first take. That was it.
Wow.
I think we, you know, cut the background vocals with the tips. But it's like, you know, that high level skill, just like a world class athlete.
Right. That's right. That's right. Okay. One last question. Royalties. Now, this is something I'm like so glad you guys know about, because I think there's a misunderstanding, and I just want you to touch on sound royalties a little bit. Like, how does that work? Like, do you really get a check, and how often?
That would have been a perfect question for Reggie, since he works with sound royalties.
Okay.
But, you know, your royalties come in, you know, 2 or 3 times out of the year. You know, we still, you know, receive royalties from, you know, our earlier, you know, material that we've done.
Okay.
So, but it's in the writing. As artists, you know, it's a lot of great, you know, artists and singers, but they may not get the writer's royalties, you know, so
right.
It could be somebody that's, you know, sitting in a little room just writing the songs and, you know, they receive those royalties.
Okay.
You know, provide they don't get ripped off.
Right. That's what I thought. I thought they come like every 6 months, because my point to make is that don't think it come every month thinking you're going to be able to pay your bills. And I think sometimes that's where artists get it wrong. Even like what you said, it has to be in the contract. It has to be in writing. You have to be established to even obtain royalties. Let's say that. Get that out. And there's difference like performance royalties and writers and all of that. And again, it has to be in writing, but I definitely wanted people to know it don't come every month.
Okay. No, it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you have to manage, you know, your income when you get it.
See, this is exactly where I'm going, Vincent. This is exactly where I'm going, because, you know, people don't understand how artists become broke.
You know, you can be an artist, and if you're not writing the songs, then you may have to get out and you know, perform.
Tour.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have, you know, that outlet to get out there and perform, if you haven't made enough noise to, you know, like some groups can still get out there and perform.
Right. You know, like the Temptations.
I couldn't get it out fast enough. Yeah, the Temptations, the Spinners, I mean, those groups, I mean, they have a legacy.
Even Smokey, you know, out there gouging.
Exactly. But, you know, the thing about Smokey, he was probably one of the greatest, our greatest songwriters as well. So he's definitely got the double thing going.
Right.
Multiple abilities. If you are getting royalties, you know, do you have to get out there and perform? Or, you know, if you love to perform, you know, you can still do that as well. Yeah, and as you get older, that road gets rough. When you're in your teens and 20s, you know, I think about some of the gigs we did, you know, even before we were in our Midnight Star, you know, our local groups traveling across the states, you know, and growing up in Cincinnati, you know, of course you can go to Chicago, you know, Illinois, Indiana.
Right.
I remember going to gigs in the back of a U-Haul truck just to perform.
Right.
But, you know, young, during the wintertime, so you know that's
crazy.
Wow,
yeah. And these young bucks don't know nothing about the struggle. I tell you, they don't know nothing about the struggle.
No, it's you know, some dues to be paid.
Come on, tell them.
Sure.
Yeah, tell them.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about touring. You will be celebrating the release of the remix of I Want to Be Rich in Los Angeles on January 23rd, performing your catalog and your hits. Let us know more information about that.
Yes, we're performing at Vibrato Grill Jazz in Bel Air. I think the show starts around 7 o'clock. You know, it's an incredible place, ambiance, you know, for dinner and live music. We've had opportunity to play there, you know, a few times now. It's owned by Herb Alford, which is famous trumpet player. His daughter actually runs the place now. But it's, you know, by being owned by a musician, you know, the acoustics, the ambiance, everything, sound system is pretty amazing. So, yeah, we'll be playing all of our hits, and everybody's saying, are you going to play the Midnight Star songs too? We're playing all the hits.
Yeah.
We're playing our, you know, production stuff, things we did with, early productions with Climax, as well as The Deal, you know, Body Talk, and, of course, the Gladys Knight and Natalie Cole and Levert. Of course, Callaway.
right. So some TP, some Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh, well, you know, that's, we'll probably open up with that.
Okay. Yeah, you guys have done an amazing job. You have an amazing catalog. Salute. Glad that I can give you your flowers today and just say thank you for blessing our wonderful ears with wonderful music. Let people know how they can reach out and connect with you guys, be it social media, email, or website.
The website and the Instagram and Facebook, all that is Callaway Official.
Okay. .com,
and so you can reach us, you know, anytime, and we'd love to hear from you and tell you about the new things that we have coming up. We have some new news that we'll be working on. You know, I've been going through some of my old boxes full of cassettes. I don't know if people remember what cassette tapes are.
I know. Them young whippersnappers are like, the millennials are like, what? A cassette?
Yeah, and yeah, because CDs may be a stretch too, but...
Right.
But, you know, keep it short, but you mentioned about, or having a catalog of songs that you can pull out, because I Want to Be Rich is a prime example of one of those songs that, you know, we had to reach back and go through our, you know, little catalog to find, you know, that song. And it came out right on time. And I've been going through cassettes and I'm finding, you know, stuff with some of the top artists we worked with, as well as some of the demos that was never, you know, finished. I'm like, man, it's no different than the hits that, you know, we've already done. But it just didn't make, it wasn't the right time for it at that time. So.
Right. Yeah, everything is God's timing, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
It's perfect timing now. We need encouraging music. We need things to resonate in our spirit, to encourage us, to remind us also of the task we have ahead. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's in all capacities, you know. Now, I mean, some people can relate to greed and material things, but again, rich is that you woke up this morning, you know. Rich is that you was able to go to the bathroom by your own self, okay?
Exactly.
And I'm talking from experience, okay? You know, rich is just having your family to support you and be around. So it's whatever you want it to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be money, because how many of us know money come, money go, okay? But the rich part is what you hold in your heart.
Gratitude, you know, is the key word, you know, to be grateful, thankful for what you do have. And because like you say, money can come and go. That's why I think, special thing about the song I Want to Be Rich is the hidden messages. You know, love, peace, and happiness.
right.
You know, and, you know, we exercise. I've been doing martial arts. I would say it's coming up on 50 years now. You know, I trained, you know, Midnight Star, you know, back in the early days. Pretty much every opportunity I get, I'm always, you know, spreading that message as far as health and fitness. So
that's
it's not
right.
just the martial arts, but I call it the healing arts and the martial arts.
Yes.
Internal art from Tai Chi to, you know, Bagua, but, you know, trying to eat right, trying to rest, you know, properly, you know, decent nutrition, you know, supplements if you need it. You know, if you need some assistance from the medical field, you know, don't think you could just do it. Hope it's going to go away.
Right.
If you have some issues.
Right.
So, yeah, that's, you know, something we, you know, we preach and something we're working on, even with some of our new material. It's just keep that positive energy going.
Love it.
And we want to, you know, be healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the rule. That's the game, for real. And because with that, then everything else falls in place.
Exactly. You know, people always said, man, I bet you guys were, you know, out there on the road and partying and all that. I said, man, you just don't know. You know, we'd go back to the hotel. If we had an opportunity to go to the hotel, we may have to jump straight on the tour bus and go to the next city.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, if we did get opportunity to stay in one city, you know, we have to bring in our keyboards, trying to write some songs, writing the songs on the bus.
Right.
We get off the bus, we stay at a hotel, we out at the pool.
Right.
Working out, exercising, running, swimming, whatever right. we need to do to, you know, stay fit. Because you can't get fit on the road.
Right.
You have to be fit before you go out and hope you can maintain.
Man.
So, you know, if you're out there, you know, abusing yourself.
At the freak-offs. No, let's stop.
Well.
If you're at the freak-offs, you're not being a hit maker. No.
Oh, man.
I know, I couldn't resist. I was trying not to bring that up, but, you know, hey, you opened the door,
well, you know,
and I had to walk on through there like that. Sorry. Not sorry. No.
Oh, Reggie said I can merge him in if he's still
okay.
I'm here. Oh, wow.
Okay. You know, one of the questions I had asked Vincent was about royalties, and we wanted to let people know that royalties don't come every month. We understand that has to be part of your contract, and discussing letting the artists know. That's how artists go broke, not having a sound contract. So if you want to tap in on that a little bit about royalties, come on in.
Yeah, those are great things that you said that people aren't aware of. You know, we always hear the stories of the troubles that artists get into, and the biggest reason is that royalties come sporadically, as you were saying, and the taxes are not taken out, so you have to deal. You know, so why? You know, a lot of times when we receive one thing and then you spend it because you needed to spend it, and then it just grows and spirals, and we all go through that. And we have to come out the other side. But royalties can be as far apart as once a year.
Wow.
Each company has its own way. And then the music publishers and record companies are generally every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Performing rights organizations like BMI and ASCAP and CSAC are generally quarterly, every 3 months. And then sound exchange can be quarterly or it can be monthly. That's kind of a new one, the new kid on the block, which is for digital performances. So if you get that monthly, deposited into your account, then you know, once you're an established artist, you can kind of watch that grow, or you can, you know, watch it plateau, and then you can kind of depend upon it. But yeah, when a record's hot, a person may receive, you know, a considerable amount of money, and then a year later when it's not hot, they're still trying to live as if the record was hot, but the income's gone down, and now they've got this big house or this big car, or bought mama a new house or whatever, and then there's
right.
no money, or
right.
no money to pay the taxes, which is the other part that we talked about. So, and educating people on that, and including ourselves, 10 years I got into the finance side of music, because it was hard for us to get an advance of money that may already be sitting there waiting on us, but for it to come 6 months later, and you need to pay your mortgage today, you know, you could easily be foreclosed or evicted in a shorter time than that.
Right.
So I went down the road, and currently I'm the director of music royalty funding at Sound Royalties. So we specialize in advancing creatives' money that's in their pipeline and monies that may be coming to them 5 years or 7 years from now. You know, we take those type of risks to give them access to capital today so that they can invest in their own music, you know, start their own labels, or you know, set up for a tour or any of this thing. So at Sound Royalties, they can reach me there at Reggie@SoundRoyalties.com, Reggie@SoundRoyalties.com, and of course the new Callaway website is CallawayOfficial.com, and we're just out here just trying to make a difference.
Yes, and you guys are, and you will, and I'm honored to say you are key players, and as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So whatever you guys continue to do, make sure you allow Urban Buzz Magazine to be one of your media outlets, and we are more than happy to share everything that you guys are doing, and I look forward to hearing some wonderful music from you both. So I'm a fan, you know. I'm a fan.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, like I said, I if I could sing, I'd be trying to tell y'all hook me up, but you know, I'm a shower singer, so I might be able to do some backups. If you need backup singers, call me.
Well, you did pretty good. You did pretty good on Love Old Boy there.
Man, listen, I love me some Gladys. I tell you that.
There's always back in the old days, we, you know, we had to do our own hand claps. We get like 8 people to clap their hands all at the same time, you know, for 4.5 minutes straight, and make a pleasant place for everybody.
Yeah.
And we did with the parking. We had the beat ladies that did all the beat beats for us and different angles of the room to make the sound bigger.
Yeah.
Put you to work.
Thank you. No problem. No problem. Because you know what I don't want? I don't want AI.
You can't produce a breath.
Come on, can, sir.
But, you know, I tell my engineers, don't erase all the breaths. That's the soul.
I love
you know,
it.
Leave that in. You hear Gladys Knight take a breathe in and then let it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God's in the hook.
That's right. My God.
And, you know, and as artists, you know, artists dedicate their lives to perfect their craft.
Right.
You know, right. The technique, whether, you know, no matter what they're doing, you know, just to try to get a technology to recreate that.
Right.
You know, this.
I mean, it can duplicate, but it can't. I don't believe it can create. That's all I'm going to say. It can duplicate. I just don't think it can create. Think that's still God's business.
All right. Yeah, I like that.
So listen, thank you guys for coming through again. Once a key player, always a key player. Let's stay in touch. I'm looking forward to that performance January 23rd in Los Angeles. If you guys want to see them live and direct, make sure you're there. Keep doing great work. Okay.
All right, up close and personal.
Thank you.
you're a key player too, Nigeria.
Thank
you. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.